Welcome to Tilting at Windmills, the show dedicated to changing the world through fiction. I'm Stephanie Silberstein, writer, thinker, person, and soon-to-be-published author. Coming up on today's show, an excerpt from Chapter 5 of Winter's Silence, commentary on the lies we tell ourselves, and music from Allgood. Stay tuned. Let's start things off with the publication report. I have some exciting news this week for you all. Within a few weeks, you'll be able to pre-order at Winter Silence through Amazon.com or your favorite online retailer. My cover art should be done by the end of January, at which point I will be able to produce the book and therefore be able to sell it. It will cost $14.95. In other news, podcast viewership is slowly but steadily growing as a result of inclusion in many online podcast directories. If you are enjoying this podcast, please let your friends and family know about it and make sure you subscribe. As the publication date gets closer, you won't want to miss important information about how to purchase Winter Silence or help with its production. In addition, Tilting at Windmills will take a hiatus at the beginning of June once the book is published in order to produce an audiobook companion to Winter Silence. Stay tuned for details. And finally, the MySpace and Facebook groups dedicated to Winter Silence are still going strong. Make sure you sign up today if you have access to one of these services so that you can discuss the topic of the week, the book's publication, and more. And that's it for this week's publication report. When Tilting at Windmills comes back, lies, lies, lies. How do we protect ourselves? What does it do to us? And how can we stop? But first, new music from Allgood, courtesy of Open Source Audio. That was Revolution by Allgood, courtesy of Open Source Audio. For those of you just joining us, I'm Stephanie Silberstein, and this is Tilting at Windmills, the show dedicated to changing the world through fiction. And now for the topic of the week. Throughout the course of the narrative of Winter's Silence, Emily's mother, Rebecca, tells her several lies. She tells her that she will enroll her in private school in order to resolve the problem of anti-Semitism among Emily's classmates, and she also tells her that school is closed one day when it's not, so that she may take her along on a trip to see a school for Alex. These lies are confusing to Emily, who is old enough to know the truth but too young to understand why it's not being told, and they do considerable damage to her psychologically. However, even worse than that is the lie that Rebecca tells herself and everybody else in an attempt to protect herself from an uncomfortable truth. Rebecca spends the 8 days of Hanukkah taking her son Alex from doctor to doctor in an attempt to prove that he's not really autistic. Today I would like to look at the lies we tell ourselves. I think that we often try to protect ourselves from unpleasant truths. I think we often put what we want above what is, and as a result, we hurt ourselves and the people around us. And I think the only way out of that is to understand that reality is what it is, the truth is what it is, and we don't change that by pretending it isn't there. In some instances, this is comical, or at least laughable. We don't pay attention to a pothole or something like that, and trip and fall. Three Stooges like comedy, right? But the consequences are actually much more severe. Rebecca almost loses her family, trying to convince herself that her son is normal. I myself lived for 3 years in a pseudo-romantic relationship with a man who did not love me the way I wanted to be loved, and it took him dying in order for me to wake up to all the time that I had wasted and all the opportunities that I missed. I've had friends in the same situation be frustrated and hurt and angry because they can't accept what is, or who they are, or who their friends are. I've had relatives get sicker than they needed to get because they didn't accept their physical symptoms or the symptoms of their loved ones. Truth and lies are serious business, and we can't protect ourselves the way we think we can. Our decisions, our thoughts, our feelings, our lives are changed by what we choose to believe. It says in the Bible that we need to put God's will above our will, but God's will is aligned deeply with our will. That is, with our most deepest desires, because he's the one who put them there. The problem is, we don't focus on our deepest desires. We focus on what we want right now, what we wish, and on what we think we should have that we can't have. We need to stop doing that. I don't have a profundity. I don't have any advice this week, except for this. Ask yourself in every situation, what is true? And do this particularly if it makes you uncomfortable. Don't get stuck in your ways. Don't get stubborn. Don't insist that things have to be a certain way, because that's when you shoot yourself in the foot. When you lie to yourself, you're protecting nobody, least of all yourself. Don't do that. We have a new year coming up, a year that ought to be filled with joy and pride and peace. I believe that's what God wants for us. The only way to achieve that is to make a commitment to the truth, to what is, even if we don't like it, to what people are saying, if it's true, even if it's not what we want to hear, to what we ourselves need to do to create happiness in our lives. Have a blessed and safe New Year. May God's blessings enrich your life in 2008. And now for this week's news headlines. Iraqi security forces were on high alert Sunday around Baghdad and in the Sunni heartland north of the capital as the country marked the one-year anniversary of Saddam Hussein's execution. In Augusta, Arkansas, false rumors about suicide or murder pacts were spread via text messaging, causing parents to pull children out of school. Two airliners came within 8,000 feet of each other on a Los Angeles International Airport runway after an air traffic controller miscommunicated with pilots. In order to facilitate peace, Israel is asked to give up most of the West Bank and share Jerusalem with Palestinians. David Letterman returns to the air after striking deals with writers. And in sports, the New England Patriots go undefeated 16-0 in the regular season, making them the second team in NFL history to play a perfect season. And that's the news. Next up, an excerpt from Chapter 5 of Winter's Silence. The bell rang as Miss James played the last note. Everything was quiet, but the bell kept on ringing inside me. Mr. O'Leary frowned at me. Then he got up and clapped. "Let's go, children," Miss James said. "Emily, come up front with me, please."
"If I may, Miss James," Mr. O'Leary said, "I'd like to borrow Emily for a moment."
Miss James twisted a loose thread around her finger. "It's Emily's turn to be line leader, Mr. O'Leary, perhaps?"
"I'm afraid that'll have to wait. Follow me, Emily."
Miss James looked like she wanted to say something, but she turned around. "Come, children." I waited till everyone went away before I jumped off the riser. Mr. O'Leary was quiet the whole way to his office. He stood straight and tall and walked very fast. My legs ached from keeping up with him. A pretend nurse told me to slow down so I wouldn't have to use crutches, but I couldn't, or I'd get lost. When we got there, Miss Green gave Mr. O'Leary some papers. I read them upside down and saw they were full of numbers.
"I can't right now," Mr. O'Leary said. "I have a situation here."
He unlocked his office door.
"Come, Emily."
I kicked a chair out. It was made of cold metal that made goosebumps grow on my back. Mr. O'Leary reached for a pen without taking his eyes off me. He kept staring while he made some notes in a big book. I squirmed. It's not nice to stare.
"Oh?"
Mr. O'Leary slammed the book closed. "Do you think your behavior this morning was nice?" I thought about it. I couldn't remember doing anything unnice, but I knew Mr. O'Leary wanted me to say no, so I tried to think harder. Mr. O'Leary leaned back in his chair. "We both know it wasn't," he said.
"Miss James might have overlooked what you were doing, but believe me, I saw everything."
I screwed up my eyes to look in Mr. O'Leary's brain. I couldn't find what he was talking about.
"Don't make faces, Emily. This is not a joke."
Mr. O'Leary tapped his fingers on the desk. "Were your parents laughing when they read that note?" I didn't answer. Instead, I stared over Mr. O'Leary's shoulder at the window. The wind and rain were shaking a big tree and making it cry.
"I didn't think so. Nor will they be glad to hear about this latest indiscretion.
Is your mom home?" I sat up straighter than straight to make myself more grown up. "She's at an appointment in Levittown, and Daddy's at work." If no one was home, Mr. O'Leary would have to call Uncle Matt. He was the third number on my emergency card.
"I see."
Mr. O'Leary kept his eyes on me as he leaned his chair back. He wanted me to look away, but I wouldn't. "You shouldn't lean back like that," I said. "You might fall over." Mr. O'Leary rocked back and forth in the chair. He kept staring at me like he was waiting for something. A big gust of wind blew against the window, so hard I thought the glass might break. I squeezed the edge of the desk and said a prayer in my head. Mr. O'Leary put his chair back on the ground.
"I'm too busy for this," he said. "Are you sorry or not?"
"For what?" I stared at my feet and listened to the wind and rain talking to each other.
"Sit up straight," Mr. O'Leary said.
I sat up. He tried to trap me with his eyes again, but I looked through him and out the window. Mr. O'Leary's phone buzzed.
"All right," he said. "It's obvious I'm just wasting my time here. Back to class with you."
He stood up. His shadow was even taller than he was. It weighed down on me and tried to stop me from standing. I got up anyway. Mr. O'Leary scowled and shoved his hands in his pockets.
"I'll be back soon," he said to Miss Green.
My body felt heavy as I followed him down the hall. I watched my shoelace sweep the floor all the way back to Miss James.
Once again, that excerpt was from Chapter 5 of Winter Silence. The entire novel will be available in June 2008. I hope you enjoyed the excerpt and also enjoyed today's show. I'd like to thank my friends, family, and colleagues, as always, for supporting me in this endeavor, people at Open Source Audio for the use of their music, and you, my listeners. I'd love to get you more involved in the production of this podcast and of the novel. If you have any feedback, positive, negative, or in between, please email me at Stephanie@StephanieSilberstein.com. I just might read your point of view out on the air. I want to wish everyone a happy and safe New Year and a glorious 2008. Until next week, this is Stephanie Silberstein for Tilting at Windmills, asking you, what can you do today to make the world a better place?
Have a good evening.